not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me, and this is good news, Christian. For you could be unaware of things against yourself that really ought to condemn you. But when the Lord judges you by means of the cross of Jesus Christ, he judges you innocent. He justifies. He declares what is not to be, that your sins have been taken away by his blood. You're listening to Oratio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth. You're on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and with just the few moments left to us here, isn't it stunning, the language of Psalm 14, how insulting it is, how rude. There's no one who does good? How could he say such a thing? None who understand? Well, I love God. I seek after God. I go to church every week. I keep all the commandments as best as I can. Or try it this way. I live in a monastery on the hills of Tibet, and I give myself all day long every day to deep meditation, seeking the divine. I love God very much. How dare you say I do not seek for God? But see, this is where the Bible, Christianity, the God who really is, we got to kind of hear him as knowing more than we do about what it means to seek after him. And from his point of view, he's like watching us down here, looking at kind of a bunch of rodents in a box, trying to find the piece of cheese. And they think that the piece of cheese in the box is like the refrigerator, right? Getting out of the box. And so they find the cheese, like, look, I got the cheese. I found all the cheese in the world. No, you didn't, you idiot. Like, and the scientists, you know, I'm up here. I'm the one who gave you the cheese, right? So we're reaching around, grasping at things that we call God, that we press the name or the idea that we make up in our own mind onto as if it were God, but none of this is the real God. And this is God's opinion, not my opinion. It's God's opinion that this is the case. And that there is no way for us to find him. He's actually hidden himself from us so that he does not destroy us in his wrath against our sin, so that he might send himself in the person of his son down into our midst in such a way that rather than destroy us with the destruction of sin, he might, well, do one and not the other. He might destroy the sin and save you and I. It's a beautiful thing. But it only comes on the other side of this psalm, of this understanding, of this original sin idea from Scripture. That we are just fully wicked. We are all fools. We may not admit that we think there's no God, but we live most of the day as if there is not. And so we are corrupted. Now there is this other side of the psalm where David or the psalmist does say, have the evildoers no knowledge? And he distinguishes between those who never know this and those who have learned it, who have heard it preached to them, who have had it proclaimed to them, who have come to believe. See, and this is the crazy thing, that the path to righteousness is to believe that you are not righteous. And in this then, well, then you do have knowledge. That God is with the generation of the justified. That the Lord is your refuge. The salvation for Israel, for those for whom God fights, it will indeed come out of Zion, out of God's holy mountain, and it has. In the person and the work of the one man, Jesus of Nazareth, who did many wonderful things, but most important of all, he was nailed to a tree. Nailed to a tree so that we who do not do good, we who have been corrupt, we who do not seek God, we among whom there is no one who is good, not even one, we might be restored as God's own fortune. Taken from being the people of Jacob, the deceiver, to the people of Israel, the one whom God is for. What a religion. No? You're listening to Oratio on Worldwide KFUO. Coming back in just a moment to take a deeper look at that 1 Corinthians 4 text on sharper iron. It's good stuff, but confusing, yeah? You probably should stick around.